Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Blessed greetings in Jesus' name. Once again, to all the saints in the room. Hallelujah. From India, to all the brothers and sisters. It's indeed a great privilege and an honor to be in His presence and to glorify and to magnify His name and to speak of His goodness. Before we just enter into the Word, there are a few testimonies that are in my heart and the Spirit of the Lord has been pondering me to just share. It's always good to speak of the goodness of the Lord, what the Lord is doing in this end of the world. And once again, I greet the saints in the United Kingdom and the sister that's admitting the room and the saints in the United Kingdom, the sister that's admitting the room there, and also the pastors. And all the brothers and sisters, hallelujah. Well, from past 1 month, I've been very busy in the work of the Lord, sharing His word and praying in His presence. Well, last month, we had a meeting in a place called Rayalaseema, which is in India. And in that place is a place where there is a lot of persecution, where many reject the word and many do not really love the word of God. And me and my father and another brother in Christ, we went to share the word there when we were invited. So when we went there, the Lord has done real good things. The Lord has done great things there. The Lord has worked wonderful things, because signs shall follow them that believe. So it is so wonderful to see even little children from ages 10 and 11 praying to the Lord in spirit and speaking in tongues and worshiping the Lord. And we have deeply enjoyed it. We have deeply enjoyed in the presence of God. It has been a great experience. It has been an immense blessing. And also, there have been a lot of testimonies of little children coming and telling the experience, how the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. Some testified saying the Spirit of the Lord came upon them as a cool breeze, and some testified saying it came upon them like heat, like fire heat coming out of their bodies, and some experienced it as the hand of the Lord just fell on them. So different kinds of experiences. It indeed gave a great joy, and we were able to see the fruit of what had been sown, and the demons were casted out, and many wonderful things that the Lord did. And I thank God for all the prayers, especially the saints for the ministry here in India. Your prayers have been an immense blessing to us, and I'm really thankful for all of your prayers. And also last week, I have been again to that place, the same place. I was invited for a youth meeting and a birthday party. So I went there and we had a youth meeting. Many youngsters and brothers and sisters were able to experience the Holy Ghost ever they have ever experienced it before, because many of them, the Holy Spirit is new. Because there, in the culture that they live, what is taught by the churches there is, once you're baptized, you get a Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit starts dwelling in you. So it's a misconception, and it's a kind of wrong teaching that is done. And so, at that moment of time, the Lord had paved the way that it was good to see, you know, the promise according to Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 in the Acts of Apostles chapter 2 and verse 17, the promise being fulfilled once again. And some sisters prophesied, and some brothers saw visions, and it was really a great blessing, and there were very good testimonies there, and it was a great blessing. I stayed about 3 or 4 days there, and I really enjoyed in the presence of God. And thank you so much once again for all your prayers, and we would appreciate your prayers continuously as the Lord leads. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's get into the Word. As I've been in the presence of God, meditating and just looking into the Word, and I was seeking God's face, seeking the word, the right word for tonight, and this is what the Lord has given me from His Word. Let's read Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 21. The book of Genesis, chapter 21 and verses 14. Genesis 21 and verses 14. Glory to God. And here we read a beautiful scripture portion. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took the bread and the bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it in her shoulder and the child, and sent them away and departed and wandered around in the wilderness of Beersheba. Amen. Hallelujah. We would have read this scripture many times. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne of grace. Lord, I am seeking your mercy, because if I speak, it's not going to be used to anybody. Lord, if I speak, nobody is going to change. Nobody is going to receive it. Holy Spirit, we invite you. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and talk to us. Holy Spirit, tonight we invite you. We invite your divine presence to touch every brother and every sister, that we will be able to understand your word, Lord. We will be able to acknowledge your word, Father. We will be able to sense the touch of the Master's hand. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful fellowship. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful brothers and sisters once again. Father, you hide me behind your cross. Lord, you speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took the bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it in on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. We have read this scripture many times and we know this story quite well. Well, today the topic that the Lord put in my heart to share is the living waters. The topic is entitled The Living Waters. Well, we see different experiences in the Word of God in different dimensions. As we look in the Word and as we look outside the Word, we see there is a basic general necessity, and that is water. Water plays a major role in human life. Man uses water to wash himself. Man uses water to drink. The trees take in water to grow. Everything that lives on the face of this earth needs water, because that is a basic component and that is a basic requirement for anybody to ever live on earth. So we could see in many places, from the birds of the air to the fishes in the sea, everything needs water, and water plays a real, real role in human life. And here we see different kinds of examples in the Word of God how water played a predominant role, where water played the main role where it was necessary. Well, today we're going to talk about the spiritual waters, the living waters, the waters that have life, the waters that are not ordinary, but that are extraordinary. The waters that just not give life, but the life in fullness. Hallelujah. The life in fullness that leads us into the complete image of Christ. Hallelujah. So as we read this scripture, we could see the Lord spoke to Abraham and Sarah in Genesis chapter 15. He said, Sarai, you will be called Sarah, and Abraham, you shall be called Abraham. He said, you shall bring forth a son. That's what he said. So the Lord delivered a word into their lives, which made a 90-year-old woman to give birth to a child. Hallelujah. So we could see Sarah waited on the Lord for many years, and she didn't get a child, and she lost her patience. She was not able to still wait. And we see what happened in between, because of the step that she has taken, Ishmael came out to be the child of Abraham, the first child of Abraham. And you see, as soon as Ishmael became the child, and few days later, or a few years then later, the Lord again spoke to Sarah, telling, Sarah, now I'm going to give you a child. That's what the Lord spoke. And the moment Sarah recognized she's going to consume somebody, and the Lord is going to put a seed in her womb, and she felt jealous. We could see that's what has happened in the world. Because she did not, well, it is a predestination. We know that what God decides happens. But Sarah chose, she didn't want Hagar to be there. So she said, Abraham, you have to send them out of the house. I don't want Ishmael anymore. But she was the one who took initiative. She was the one who said, Abraham, I need a child now, and I know that I'm no more going to consume. I want a child urgently, and that is how Ishmael came. You know, the moment we take fast steps or quick steps, when we don't just give time for the Lord, and this is what happens, and Ishmael comes out. That is going to be the fruit of it. So now, when the own son is going to be born, and the son of somebody else has become somebody, and she said, kick them out of the house. And they were kicked out of the house. You could see the early morning Abraham took out water and some food and gave it, some bread, and gave it to the Hagar, and he sent them out. And they were walking and walking. The water got over and the food got over. And as soon as the water got over, this child began to cry and the mother began to cry, because they were walking in the desert. They were walking in the wilderness. They were walking in the wilderness of Beersheba. There was no water. It was completely a desert. They keep walking and walking and walking. And they didn't see anything. They didn't find anything. And it was very hot and it was very humid. At that moment of time, this woman throws this child. When we read the later verses, and as we have read this verse 14, when we read 15 and 16, this is what happens. She throws the child in the bush and she begins to pray. When she begins to pray in that wilderness where water is impossible, where she was thirsty, where the child was thirsty, she threw the child and she began to cry and saying, Lord, you have to save my child. Lord, you have to save me. I need to be saved. That's what she said. So in that wilderness, when she began to cry to the Lord opened the desert. And we could see the water came out. The water came out and they drank. They were alive. Hallelujah. They were alive. If they drank the water, the child was alive and the mother was alive. Praise God. God can do anything at any place. When we think it's impossible, God can make things possible. That's what we serve, this living God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the same as today, today, and forever. He never changes. His word never changes. Anything that is declared from the mouth of the Lord never ever changes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So second example, let's take a second example for this living waters. Let's read from the word again. Let's read Exodus chapter 15, the book of Exodus chapter 15 and verses 25. The book of Exodus chapter 15 and verses 25. When we read Exodus 15 and 25, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet, and there he made them statue of ordinance, and there he proved them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. We could see this is the second incident where water was a basic requirement. Where water was a basic requirement and where people needed water and they wanted to drink water. Again, they had a thirst there. They wanted water. And they came to a place, they crossed the Red Sea and they came to a place. And the water was bitter there. The water was bitter. It's called Marah. And in that Marah, in that place, the Lord showed a tree to Moses. And when Moses took that tree and put it into the waters became sweet and they had the water. And they drank and they were all sustained. They murmured against the Lord. They did things against the Lord. They've been murmuring for food. They've been murmuring for so many things. Here they're murmuring for water. And the Lord provided water and satisfied them and they had water. And the journey began carrying on in the wilderness. So that's the second incident. Let's take the third incident. Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 20 and verses 11. Again, a similar kind of incident takes place. The book of Numbers, chapter 20 and verses 11. Here we see again the children of Israel in the book of Numbers 20 and verse 11. Again, the children of Israel were crying for water. Again, they were thirsty. And Moses lifted his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank the water, and their beasts also. Hallelujah. Here you see Moses did wait on the Lord to open and break open the water, but he disobeyed God. That's what the word says. That's one of the reasons that Moses was not able to inherit the land of Canaan. So he broke it open. And again they had water. Again they drank water. So first instance we saw Hagar and the child. The second instance the same children of Israel. In the third instance also we see children of Israel seeking for water. And let's again see the book of Judges. When we read the book of Judges, we see here a man between life and death, fighting between life and death. His name is Samson. When you read the book of Judges, chapter 15 and verses 19, the book of Judges, chapter 15 and verses 19, we see Samson had a fight with the Philistine army. And after the fight was over, he struggled, and he came back. And God cleared a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came out water thereout. Okay? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And when he drank, his spirit came again. He revived. Therefore, we call that place En-Korel, which is in Lehi unto that day. Hallelujah. So in a place called Lehi, God poured out a clave where in which a hollow place was opened in the jar. And the water came out. If Samson did not drink water there, Samson was going to die. Because without water, Samson is dead. Without water, Hagar and her child are dead. Without water, the children of Israel were dead in the first instance. Without water, in the second instance also, the children of Israel were dead. In his third instance, in his fourth instance, even Samson, if he didn't have water at that moment of time, he would die. That's what we read. According to the Jewish custom, we see in John chapter 2 and verses 7, in the book of John chapter 2 and verses 7, this is the first miracle that Jesus ever did. And in the first miracle that Jesus ever did, we see, according to the Jewish custom, in a marriage, they have to give wine till the last, till the end, as much as wine should be supplied. So at that moment of time, the wine got over. The wine was not there. If the wine is got over, according to the Jewish custom, it's an insult. It's an insult if the wine is got over in a marriage. So these people here are worried. And now again we see the first miracle. Jesus says, fill all these jars with water. So water played a predominant role, we see. And also that's what we read in the book of Mark. If you are filled with water, and if you are satisfied with water, and if you have gained the water in your life, this living water, what happens is Jesus is telling another word. If you read in the book of Mark, chapter 4, the book of Mark, chapter 9, and verses 41. When you read in the book of Mark, chapter 9, and verse 41, he says, he that gives to his fellow brethren a cup of water to drink in the name of Jesus, because he belonged to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All these instances we see, brothers and sisters, what a predominant role water really plays. Today so many of us are spiritually thirsting in the presence of God. We have a lot of spiritual thirst. Every day you have a desire, because we see the word of God clearly says we shouldn't be like the fig tree that did not bear fruit. So if anything that has to ever bear fruit needs water, and that water, this living water, is nothing but the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Many of us claim ourselves to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Many of ourselves claim ourselves to be having the anointing, but we really don't see it. We really don't experience it. And also he says, that's what Jesus said, if you're really filled with the living waters, if you're really having this living water experience, you should give this cup, take this cup and give it to your fellow brethren or in my name, because he belongs to Christ. If he is not filled with it, the same experiences, that's what he says, in his presence there is fullness of joy. In his presence there is fullness of joy. Why is it joyful? It is because in his presence there are living waters. Hallelujah. In his presence there are living waters. So it's very much necessary to understand the nature of the living water. It is very much necessary to understand the nature of the living water. We have seen instances where water played a major role in the human life, where it was very predominant, where it was very much required. Hallelujah. So now let's see the living waters and its experience. Let's see number one, the first, the nature of the living water in Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel chapter 47 and verse 1. The living waters, where does the living waters issue from? Where do we get the living waters from? Let's read Ezekiel chapter 47 and verses 1. We have the word Ezekiel chapter 47 and verses 1. And afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for in forefront of the house stood towards the east, and the waters came down from under, from right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Hallelujah. So number one, the first and the foremost thing we need to understand is the Holy Ghost, the presence of this living waters, where can we experience this complete living waters is in his divine presence. So today many of us understand that the truth that after Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, he doesn't dwell anymore in the buildings made of stones. He doesn't dwell anymore in the buildings that are made by human beings. But he dwells within you and within me today. Hallelujah. So, don't you know that your body is the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? That's what the word says. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3:15 and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And don't you know that your body is the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Well, where do we experience his presence? Because we see here in the word clearly, when you read Ezekiel chapter 4, 47 and verse 1 on, it speaks about if anybody wants the Holy Ghost in their lives, if anybody wants to experience the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost in their lives, Holy Ghost is issued from his presence. Well, the Bible clearly tells in Isaiah chapter 66 in verse 1, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. So where is the presence of God gathered? In my name, I shall be there. When two or three gathered in my name, asking for anything, joining together for anything, I shall be there. That's what the Lord said. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. So we need to understand the living waters are ourselves. I can never sit alone, stay alone without a fellowship, without unity and oneness in the body of Christ. I can never stay separate in the body of Christ. So today, many people want to experience God. Many people want to have the intimate relationship with God. Many people want to do so much of move into his divine presence, but they're not able to move. They're not able to do it. You know why? It is because they don't have the presence of God. Hallelujah. Because they don't have this divine presence of God. Because they don't realize the Holy Ghost issues from God's house. It is where God's house is nothing but when two or three gathered in his name, he shall be there. Hallelujah. So, the first nature, the first thing that we need to understand is, that's what he says when you read Joel, the book of Joel, chapter 3 and verse 18. The book of Joel, chapter 3 and verse 18. Let's read that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Joel chapter 3 and verses 18. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. I'm going to read it. And the living waters flow from his divine presence. Hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. Here we also see God stating that nobody can ever experience, nobody can ever feel, nobody can ever sense the mighty power of God until and unless you and I are in his divine presence. Until and unless you and I are in fellowship of saints. Until and unless you and I are completely mingled and entangled by his holy presence. When I stay alone, when I'm living alone, trying to build my spiritual relationship or trying to have the Holy Ghost dwelling in me and leading me, that is impossible. That is only possible when I have the divine presence of God in the assembly of saints. Hallelujah. In the assembly of brothers and sisters. In the assembly where brothers and sisters join together, united. That's what he says, and David says. He speaks about unity. He speaks about 133 in Psalm 133. He speaks about unity, what unity can do. He compares unity to the snow that just falls down. We read that in Psalm 133. How good and how pleasant it is to see when brethren stay in unity. That is what we see when I was talking about a man in gatherings. We could see a man in gatherings was being tormented by the demon. A man in gatherings was being tormented by demons. Jesus asked, "Who are you?" That's what he asked. He said, "I'm Sanna." This is what he said. "I'm Sanna, for we are many. I'm a legion, for we are many. For we are not one, for we are many." You could see that one man was not able to overcome the attack of the enemy. That one man was not able to break through the strongholds of Satan. It is because he was alone. It is because the enemy has brought him outside his house, outside the church, outside the family, outside everything. And the enemy has taken him to his chamber, a place. You see, you can call these gatherings as Satan's laboratory, where Satan is trying to test all his techniques, all his crucial techniques on one man. The whole attack of the enemy, trying to attack one man, cornering one man, and trying to attack him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. So my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to understand, we can never do anything apart from fellowship. We can never experience the living waters experience when we are alone. We can pray in the spirit, we can pray in tongues, we can pray to the Lord, but we need, because we experience it deep and deep when we are in the fellowship of the saints. Hallelujah. An empty man's mind is devil's workshop. There's a saying there. Hallelujah. Secondly, the second nature of this living waters is, let's read Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, chapter 14 and verse 8. The second nature of this living waters. Chapter 14 and verses 8. Zechariah 14 and verse 8 says, "And it shall be in that day that the living water shall go out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them towards the hinder sea, in summer or in winter it shall be. Hallelujah. The second characteristic or the second nature of this living waters is they are not harmed by any kind of season. Hallelujah. So when we have this living waters, when we have this Holy Ghost experience in our lives, when we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we will never ever be shaken. That's what it means. We could see, for example, I will compare the world's biggest mountains, the Himalayas, which are the world's biggest mountains. And the snow falls down from those mountains, and they come down into the valleys, and the water, those are called perennial rivers. Perennial rivers are the rivers that contain water throughout the year. All the 365 days of an year, there will be water, and the water will not go anywhere, because there will be living waters. So it will not dry up when the sun comes. It will not just move away when there comes a flood, because there's going to be water staying in that place. So the second thing, or the second nature of these living waters, is the living waters, the Holy Ghost, will not be attacked by any kinds of evil forces. Hallelujah. When you and I have the divine presence of God, when you and I experience the mighty anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, we will not be shaken. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because this living waters in me are not going to dry up. This living waters in me are not going to go away. Because you know why? I'm going to stand still. Because I'm going to stand still, because He is the author and the finisher of my faith. Because I'm standing on Jesus. Hallelujah. So many of the times, situations, pride, anger is away. They dries up the Holy Ghost experience in our lives. That is what happened. When David sinned against the Lord, what happened? He says, cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So he understood the moment Holy Spirit is sovereign work. Holy Spirit is somebody that is precious, righteous, dwelling in us. And when something that is unrighteous is done in our lives, through our lives, what happens is the Spirit will not be able to stay in that place. Hallelujah. So what happens is it dries up, or it goes down, or it does not have a space. It does not have a place where it can really increase, where it do not have a place. So that's what we need to understand. The waters that the Lord is speaking about, if these waters, it will be same in the winter, it will be same in the summer. It will not be attacked. Though scorching sun is coming and attacking you, you will, nothing will happen to you. Hallelujah. No weapon that's formed against you shall prosper, because you have the living waters. Hallelujah. Because you are the apple of His eye. Because He who watches over you will not slumber nor sleep. Glory to God. That's what we need to understand. So this is the second characteristic of this living waters. They are not affected by time, unaffected by time and season. That is the second characteristic. Number three, the third nature or characteristic from where we would really, what is the source of these living waters? We saw that they are issued from God's house. Number two, we saw they are not affected by time, or they are not affected by season. They are permanent. They're going to stand still. And number three, let's read John chapter 4 and verse 10. The book of John chapter 4 and verse 10. When we read the book of John chapter verse 10, we see a different experience there. In the well of Jacob, there comes a woman there to the Lord Jesus Christ, and she begins to speak to Him. Hallelujah. And Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith thee, give me water to drink, thou would have asked of me, and He would have given thee living waters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. The third thing is, Jesus is the only source of this living waters. Hallelujah. Jesus is the only source of this living waters. It is so sad to see people going from place to place. people moving from place to place just to have this divine experience, just to have this mighty anointing. The Bible clearly tells, if you ask anything in my name desiring, I will give it to you. Hallelujah. He will give it, no matter what it is, no matter how big it is, because he will do it, because he has promised. Heaven and earth may pass away, but his words will never pass away. That's what we read. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ is the source of the living waters. He's the only person that can ever. Nobody that is laying hand on my head, you know, just can penetrate through my heart and pass through my body and just make me shake or make me fill me with the anointing, but Jesus Christ alone. Hallelujah. So I need his grace. I need to accept his name, because many, many people in the world outside today, many people outside in the world today deny the name of Jesus. Deny the name of Jesus. They don't realize the divine nature of Christ. They deny the deity of Christ. It is very pretty sad to see. In many places we see Christ revealing himself to be God, and where he wanted all of us to understand that he needs the first place in our lives. And we see many are denying the deity of Christ, and it's pretty sad. Jesus Christ said, I am the Messiah. He said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the above. He said, I am from above. He didn't say, I am from earth. I am from above. That's what he said. He said, I am the eternal one. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He said, I am Son of God. He said, I am a good shepherd. He said, I am a door. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. I am the Lord and the Master. Many times he showed to his children, many times he proved himself, but many didn't understand his divinity. Many didn't understand his deity. Many didn't understand his mighty power and mighty anointing. They still deny the name of Jesus. The Bible clearly tells, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. Because there is no name that can give you liberty. There's no name that can set you free. There's no name that can change our lives. It's only the name of Jesus Christ. So, these living waters are also the source. Here is a woman that is trying to just take water home, but she does not have living waters in her life. She is going through pain. She's going through agony. She's going through a situation in which she's feeling really tough. She feels life to be a mess. The Lord is telling her, if you ever know the person that's seeking after you, asking you water, you will never ask him back. You will never, ever. Glory to God. Here she was telling, oh, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. You know, we are rejected in the society. I can never give you water. But Jesus' reply. Jesus looked into her life, what she was lacking. And Jesus came to know what would come into her life would clear all her lacks. What is necessary in her life that will break every bondage. There are so many things prejudiced in our minds. There are so many things that we are fixed. You say, I am like this, that's all. I am fixed with this, that's it. There are certain things that can never be broken by just speaking to a person or counseling a person. There are things that need to be broken completely by the living waters. That is the reason I say the living waters are necessary, and that can only come by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the only source, and Jesus is the only way for these living waters. Hallelujah. So anybody and everybody has to accept this fact. Nobody can deny this. Glory to God. So the fourth characteristic of the living waters. Let's see, John chapter 7 and verse 37. The book of John chapter 4, chapter 7 and verse 37. John 7 and 37, this is what the word says. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And verse 38, let's also read verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow the rivers of living water. Out of his belly shall flow the rivers of living waters. Hallelujah. Here we see, if at all at home we need water, we have a tank, water tank at the top. And as soon as we open the tap, we get water. As soon as we open the tap, we get water and we get satisfied by that water. But here is the Lord trying to convey something to us. He's talking to us about the living waters. And the fifth and the fourth nature of this living water is this living water satisfies the deepest needs. Hallelujah. This living water satisfies the deepest needs. So here you don't need a tank on the top. Jesus is telling, I'm going to set something on your belly. And your belly will just keep flowing. My vessel is flowing, flowing, and not stopping. Because Jesus has set something inside. Jesus has set a tank in, which is perennial, where the water will not go away, where the water will not just move away. Hallelujah. So we see David wanted to build a temple for God. But God's plan is God wanted Solomon to build his temple. David wanted to build a temple for God. But God's plan was God wanted Solomon to build the temple. But you see in the word clearly, David brought gold, David brought silver, David brought a lot of material, raw material that was required to construct the temple of God. Everything was made, but God's predestination was, and God's plan was, he wanted Solomon to build the temple for him. He wanted Solomon to accomplish God's temple. And why did God want Solomon to accomplish his temple? When we read in the book of 1 Kings chapter 5, we read about a king called Hiram. We read about a king called Hiram. And we see when Solomon came to rule and he overtook the kingdom, and this is what Solomon did. The first thing Solomon did was he was going to begin to build the temple, and he gave a letter to King Hiram. And he said, Hiram, I know that you have on the mountains of Lebanon, you have the cedar trees. You have the cedar trees. And now I want to build the temple of God, and I want to build the temple of God with the cedar trees. He said, I want to build the temple of God with the cedar wood. That's what we read in the word. Clearly we read it. This is what it says. Why did Solomon choose the cedar trees? We see David has prepared everything and kept. David has made the ground ready. David has made the gold ready. David has made the silver ready. David has made everything ready. But why is that Solomon had to choose that cedar tree for the temple of God? What is the reason? What is the reason? We see, when you see on the mountains of Lebanon, we could see snowfall. We could see snowfall. And the snow falls down because Lebanon is the lowest. It's about 200 meters below the sea level. And you can see snow falling just downwards. And as the snow falls down, the trees that are there on the basement gets plenty of water. And these trees have the experience of water. These trees has experience of water. And God shows that cedar trees to build his temple because those trees had the experience of water. They are perennial. They didn't ever lack water. So today God is seeking saints like that. God is seeking a brother. God is seeking a sister that has this experience, that is having this water experience, having been filled with the Holy Ghost, the full experience of the divine presence. That will, you know, you will never lack water. This is what? This Holy Ghost or this living water satisfies everything. You will have a tank. It will satisfy your deepest needs. Or no matter the water will never get over because it will keep flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing. Because living waters will flow from his bellies. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Right. Let's look at the fifth characteristic of the living waters. Let's look at the fifth characteristic of the living waters. Let's read Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 7 and verses 17. The book of Revelation, chapter 7 and verses 17. When we read Revelation 7 and 17, this is what the word says. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto the living fountains of the waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Hallelujah. And the fifth characteristic, or the fifth nature of this living waters is, he that is seeking for a living water, or he that wants a living water, when he that has an experience of this living water, his hand will be in the hand of Jesus. His hand will be in the hand of Jesus, because he will never walk on his own, but Jesus will be holding his hand. Hallelujah. Because see, nothing shall take away, remove you away from his hand, because your hand, when you have this living water experience, this living waters in you will not allow you to walk on your own. The Holy Spirit will not allow you to walk on your own. The Holy Spirit will not allow you to take decisions on your own. The Holy Spirit will not allow you to just make a mess out of your life. Because the Holy Spirit in you, the living waters in you, will give your hand to Jesus, because Jesus is going to lead them unto the living fountains. Hallelujah. So what happens is, the fifth nature, it gives completely, the hand will be in his hand, and they will be walking, and he shall wipe away all the tears. That's what we see in Isaiah chapter 12 and verses 2. The Bible clearly tells, they will draw waters from the wells of righteousness. They will draw waters from the wells of righteousness, inexhaustible. The supply is inexhaustible. Glory to God. This water supply is inexhaustible. He that thirst, let him come to the living waters. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Joy. Glory to God. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. So my dear brother and my dear sister, the word clearly states, indicates, makes us understand that when you are in his presence, when you are with this living waters, when you want this living waters in your life, your hand will be in the hand of Jesus, because you can never walk on your own to experience this divine, this living waters. When you read in Isaiah chapter 49 and verses 10, we read the same thing again. He talks about the living waters in Isaiah 49 and verse 10. He talks about its supply. How the living waters are going to be. How the experience of the living water is going to be. They shall not hunger nor thirst. Neither shall heat or sun smite them. Because he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water he shall guide them. Hallelujah. Even if water sometimes might come in a very heavy way, he shall guide. He shall take them. Glory to God. So, the fifth experience, or the fifth nature of this living water is, this living water will make you give your hand into the hand of the Lord, because when you are with the living water, you will never walk on your own, but you will allow the Lord to make you walk. You will allow the Lord to lead you slowly. A man cannot eat a ton of rice at a ton of a package, a ton of rice that is cooked overnight. One man cannot eat that. He can eat that maybe for about 2 years, 3 years, because he's going to take it in slowly. You cannot just, a born baby, you cannot just directly keep meat in the baby that's born. The baby will slowly eat. How will the baby eat? As the child grows up a little bit, the mother and the father catch the hand of the child. They make the child walk. It grows, and it comes to the place where it can eat. Hallelujah. So this is what is the experience. That is what Paul says. You call yourselves to be grown-ups. You call yourselves to be somebody that is really great. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? One plants and another one waters, but it is the Lord that makes it grow. Who is great? It is the one that makes it grow, is the one that is great. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Until and unless you abide in me, you will remain along. You will remain as nothing, but you will just be thrown down, and you will die, and you will be no use. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Here we read, this living water's experience, our hand will go into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, where He is leading us, no more we leading ourselves. So this is the nature and experience. They will experience all these experiences. And let's get to the sixth nature. Let's read Revelations, the book of Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 1 and verse 2. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 and verse 2. Revelation 22, verse 1 and 2. This is what the word says. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear, crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God, the Lamb, and in the midst of the street of it, on the either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare fruit 12 manners of fruit, yielded her fruit every month, and her leaves of the tree were healing of all the nations. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. The fifth nature, or the fifth characteristic of this living waters is, living waters make our life fruitful. Make our life fruitful. Today we call ourselves to be filled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We call ourselves to be telling that I am baptized with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we do not bear fruit. That's one of the biggest problems that is being experienced by the body of Christ today. There is no fruit. People come up and say, you know, I've experienced the Holy Ghost at this moment of time. Where is the fruit? I should see a fruit. You should see a fruit. Everybody in our life, we have to see a fruit. What is the use if I just, you know, stand here and share the word, and if I don't have a fruit in my life? I have to bear a fruit. And how should I bear a fruit? And he says, in the midst of the street of it, either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 in manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month. So here as a Christian, as a brother and as a sister in Christ, you and I have 12 months in a year. 12 months, that means about 52 weeks in a year. All the 52 weeks, every month I have to bear a fruit in the Lord. Every month I have to bear a fruit in the Lord. And that can be only possible when I have the living waters. So if I have the living waters in my life, if I have the experience of the Holy Ghost in my life, I will surely bear a fruit. Hallelujah. Look at Jesus standing near a fig tree, seeking to eat a fruit, and he found nothing, and he said, cursed. He cursed that tree. Again he comes, he says, I'm in John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. He says, I'm the true wine, and my Father is a wine dresser. He takes out everything that is useless. He takes out everything that does not bear fruit. He cuts it away. He removes it. Throws it because it's going to remain as a lump. And now he's gathering all that useless things. He's going to gather all that useless stuff. He's gathering it. He's gathering it. He's gathering it. Gathering it. Completely gathering it. One day the Lord is going to just put fire on it and burn it away. Hallelujah. But if you remain in Him, you will surely bear fruit. Because if you don't bear fruit, it's of no use. That's what the word says. So we need to understand, living waters is giving you a fruitful experience where you are not going to bear fruit maybe 10 years once. You're going to bear fruit every month. Every month you're going to see a fruit. Every month you're going to see a different fruit in your life. This month, if I'm going to gain a fruit called love, next month I'm going to gain a fruit called self-control. Next month, the coming month, I'm going to gain a fruit called compassion. Slowly, 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 I'm going to increase. I'm increasing. Because I have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. So my dear brothers and sisters, we need to understand, the living water experience makes us understand, if anybody calls themselves to be filled with the living waters and if they don't have fruit, it's of no use. You shall know them by their fruit. That's what the word says. Hallelujah. And finally, in the seventh nature of this living waters is, let's read Revelation chapter 22 in verses 17. The same book, Revelation chapter 22 and verses 17. When you read Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, the word says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that thirsteth come. And whoever will, let him take the waters freely." Let him take the waters freely. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
So my dear brothers and sisters, the final characteristic of living waters is, living waters is nothing but it is a universal call to partake of. It is a universal call to be partake of. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the seventh nature and characteristic of a living water is, living water is not just for a pastor. Living water is not just for an evangelist. Living water is not just for a teacher. Living water is not just for a prophet. Living water is not just for an apostle. But living waters are telling here, the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that thirsteth say, Come. And whoever will, let him take the living waters freely. Living waters is a free gift. Living waters is a free gift. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus.
So my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to understand that there is no differentiation for this living water. This living water is for everyone. This living water is for everyone and anyone that is willing to have it. Hallelujah. If you want the anointing tonight, God is going to fill you with His mighty anointing. Hey, anywhere you go, anywhere you might go, any church you might attend, anything you might go, if you don't have this living water, your life is going to be a mess. My life is going to be a mess if I reject this living water. That's what the Bible says. Let's read Jeremiah. Let's read the book of Jeremiah. What the word says. Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17 and verses 13. When you read clearly Jeremiah 17 and verses 13, the word of God clearly states there, clearly gives us an indication there. We understand. Let's read it. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 13. I'm going to read it for you all. O Lord, that the people of Israel, all that forsake thee, shall be ashamed, and they shall depart from me and be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Hallelujah. He that forsakes the Holy Spirit forsakes the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. He that says, oh, I already have the anointing, or he that rejects the Holy Spirit anointing, he is going to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. The same word is seen again in Jeremiah, the same book, Jeremiah chapter 12. And when you read Jeremiah chapter 2 and verses 13, if you read Jeremiah chapter 2 and verses 13, if you are rejecting it, if you don't want it, if you don't want the Holy Ghost, if you don't want to experience that, you're rejecting Christ, my friend. You're rejecting Christ. And all the people have committed two evils, and they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Hallelujah. Who is this? This Holy Spirit is none other than Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. One God eternally manifested as Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. One God, but three different offices. So at this moment of time, in this last age, this latter rain is very much required. If I'm having a letter, if I've already experienced it, if I'm already having this baptism of the Holy Ghost, if I don't bear fruit, that means I don't have. If I don't focus on Christ, that means I don't have it. If I don't say Christ is the source of the Holy Ghost, then it's no use. If I'm not fulfilled in my deepest needs, if I'm not completely, if my vessel is not being filled, and if I'm not overflowing, that means there's something wrong with my walk. You can see, it is unaffected by times and seasons. Number one, we have this living waters from the presence of God. It issues from God's house. Number two, it's unaffected by time and season. Number three, this living waters, Christ is the source. of this living waters. Number four, this living waters satisfies our deepest needs. Jesus is going to put a tank in our bellies, which is going to flow 24/7, and it's going to flow till you die, because that's living waters. Number five, the supply is inexhaustible. You will never be exhausted, because your hand will be in the hand of Jesus. Jesus will be leading you to this living waters, even when the streams flow over. Number six, this living waters make you fruitful. And if you have the living waters, and if you don't bear fruit, 12 fruits in a year. Every month, one fruit. And if you don't bear a fruit, then the word clearly states. And also, this living waters is not a general call for particular people. It is for a Jew, it is for a Gentile, anybody that wants to accept Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. Hallelujah. And if you deny this, you are denying Jesus Christ. If you deny this, you're saying Jesus is not there. We could see Hagar was thirsting, and the baby was thirsting, and God provided water. And the children of Israel, when they enter into the tabernacle, they have to use water to wash themselves, to cleanse themselves. We could see Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. Everywhere we see the water played a predominant role. We could see the children of Israel in Marah. We could see children of Israel when they came to a different place where Moses struck. We could see Samson crying for water and he lived. So today, Christian life without the experience of the Holy Spirit is zero, my friend. Christian life without calling yourself or calling myself a Christian, without experiencing this great joy, it's of no use. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints. Hallelujah. That's what his word says. Praise you, Jesus. So what is the office? We need to understand the office also. Who is this Holy Ghost? I'm going to finish it off. We're going to go to the end part. Now we're going to just look. The Holy Spirit's office. Few words about the Holy Spirit's office. Because many of us think we know everything. Many of us think we understand everything. But the word of God tells more and more about the Holy Ghost, stressing it. Let's see. The first office, when we read the office of the Holy Ghost, first of all, John chapter 4, verse 16. Holy Ghost, these living waters have come into our lives. John chapter 14 and verse 16. Let's read John chapter 14 and verse 16. The first office at work. When you read this, the Bible clearly states the Holy Spirit is the abiding guest. We read it clearly in John chapter 14 and verse 16. And I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that might abide with you forever. The office, what kind of office is this? He is not somebody that just comes. You know, there are so many people have different experiences. They can only experience him when they go to church. When they go to church, they jump, they do this, they do that. When they come back, they become as though they are like, you know, they don't understand. They are trying to work out things on their emotions. They are not trying to work out as God wants. They are not walking as God wants. But, you know, the Holy Spirit's work is that he's an abiding comforter. He will never leave you. He's going to stay in you. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and he shall be in you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, the first office is he'll abide. He's an abiding guest. He doesn't want to leave you and go away. He doesn't want you to fall. The main important thing we need to understand, why was it required for the Holy Ghost to come? Jesus cleansed our sins. Jesus. He washed away our sins. But still we live in the body of flesh. And we still have the enemy trying to attack us, because we still have the nature of sin. And this nature of sin can only be overcome when we have the Holy Ghost abiding in us. Glory to God. So the Holy Spirit's work is that he is an abiding guest. Hallelujah. Number two, the second office is, let's read John chapter 14 and verse 26, the same chapter. John chapter 14 and verses 26. And the Bible clearly tells the teacher and the rememberer. It says the teacher and the rememberer. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, from whom the Father sent in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring forth all things into remembrance. What is the work of the Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost will teach us things. That's what we need to understand. When the Bible clearly tells in Acts of Apostles, when Holy Spirit comes upon you, there is no need for anybody to teach you because the Holy Spirit is the best teacher. He will teach you, and also He will just not teach you and leave you like that, but He will bring all things to remembrance. That's what is the office of the Holy Ghost. So many things that we forget. It is maybe because of our age, maybe because sometimes on the situations, because of the struggles, because of the things that we have gone through. But when we claim His promise, because His work is done, that is what the Holy Ghost has come for. Number one, He's come to abide. Number two, He has come to teach us, and He has come to bring things unto our remembrance. Hallelujah. Let's look at number three. John chapter 15 and verses 26. The same book we read. Here we read the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to be the testifier in John 15 and 26. But when the Comforter is trying to take over.
Sorry.
But here we see the Holy Spirit testifies Christ to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Holy Spirit, the third work is He's a testifier. Let's read John chapter 16. When you read John chapter 16, verse 7 and 8. John, the book of John, chapter 16 and verses 7 and 8. Here we read, the Holy Spirit is a reprover. He's a reprover. Clearly we read in verses 7 and 8, chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. And nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you, I'll go away. For if I go away, the Comforter will come unto you. But I will depart, I will send Him unto you, and when He shall come, He will reprove the world of the sin. Hallelujah. So the world sinned. So Holy Spirit condemns. He tells us, hey, there's going to be a judgment. He'll make us understand there's going to be a judgment. He'll make us understand, reprove us about what is happening around, what the sin is going to do in your life. Sin is rebellion towards God. Sin is disobedience towards God. Sin is complete unrighteousness. He's going to show everything to us. All this is revealed by the Holy Ghost. Because with our fleshly eyes, with this body of flesh, we can never be able to see what is going on around. Because this is the age of moral and spiritual crisis. Hallelujah. Everybody calls good to be bad and bad to be good. And at this point of time, we need to understand, at this point of time, we need to open our eyes to understand the Holy Ghost's office or the work is make us understand, reprove us about the world's sin and the judgment of God. So we will every day walk in the fear of the Lord. We will, even though we go astray, we will have the Holy Ghost to tell us, my friend, if you go like this, this is what is going to be the consequence. My friend, if you go that way, that is going to be the consequence. And you remember, God is going to judge everybody. Today we see the world and a lot of ignorance. We see everybody are filled in a celebration mood. Everybody are thinking about Christmas. Everybody are thinking about celebrations. Everybody in their mind are prejudiced with things like, you know, celebrations and stuff. My friends, I say, Jesus Christ is no longer a baby. There is nothing called Christmas. Christ is no longer a baby. Jesus Christ is the judge, is a living judge. Behold, He comes riding on the clouds. Every eye shall see Him. And even them that pierced Him shall see Him. Hallelujah. Because Jesus Christ is a judge. He is not a baby drinking milk. Glory to God. Many don't realize that. So we need to understand Holy Spirit is an abiding guest. Holy Spirit is a teacher and brings all things to our remembrance. Holy Spirit is a testifier of Christ. Holy Spirit, number four, is a reprover, His office. Let's read number five. John chapter 16 and verse 13. The book of John chapter 16 and verse 13. Here we read, Holy Spirit is our guide. 13, the same chapter and verse 13. The Holy Spirit is a guide, the voice of God to the prophet. Hallelujah. Howbeit then, He the Spirit of truth cometh, and He will guide you into all truth. For He shall speak Himself, whosoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will sue all things that are to come. Hallelujah. So we need to understand the office of the Holy Spirit. Fifthly is, He is a guide, the voice of God. Holy Spirit is a prophet to us. He prophesies things to us. He tells about our ruin. He guides us in the right path to go. Many other times in our life, you are not able to take strong, right decisions. When we don't have this experience of the fountain, we will never be able to take right decisions. We will never be able to walk in the right path. We will never be able to go in a right way. It is because we don't have this experience. But when we have Him, His office, His work in our lives is that He will guide us. He guides us beside still waters. Hallelujah. So we need His guidance. That's what He says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not understanding. In all the ways acknowledge Him, for He will direct your paths. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. In all the ways acknowledge Him, He will direct your paths. Hallelujah. So, the fifth work or the fifth office of the Holy Ghost is a guide and the voice of God, the prophet. Hallelujah. So number 6, the sixth work of Holy Spirit. Let's read the same chapter 16, verse 14. We read 13, let's read 14, verse 14, the next verse. In the verse 14 He says, "And He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and He shall sue unto you." Hallelujah. So the sixth office work of the Holy Ghost is, Holy Ghost glorifies Christ. Holy Ghost glorifies Christ. If I call myself to be having the Spirit of Christ, and if I don't glorify Christ, then I don't have the Holy Ghost. What is glorifying Christ? Putting Christ first. Telling it is His grace. Telling by His stripes I'm healed. Telling He died and rose again for my sins. Telling that His blood that He shed for me has redeemed me from all and everything. Everything is done by Him, Him alone. So Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. He not only just testifies about Christ, He testifies about Christ telling that He is God and there is no name that can be saved, it's only the name of Jesus. But He glorifies about God telling that Jesus Christ is none other than the Lord. He is one God. Hallelujah. He is one Savior. When you have this one God, why do you want a Trinity that doesn't exist? When you have this one living Savior or in the office as the name of Jesus, today we have Him as Jesus. In heaven at least His name might change, my friend. So we need to understand, Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. That is what is the office of the Holy Spirit. And if I call myself to have the Holy Spirit and if I don't glorify Jesus Christ, then I don't really have the Holy Ghost. Let's read the next verse, verses 15, the seventh work of the Holy Ghost, or the office of the Holy Ghost. In verse 15, chapter 16, in verse 15, it says, He is the exhibitor of Jesus. He exhibits Jesus to people. They that see Me sees Christ in Me. All things the Father hath are Mine. Therefore I said that He shall take of Mine and He shall shew it unto you. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit shows Christ to the world. He that has the Holy Ghost, there is no one. We could see Jesus' transfiguration. When Jesus was there, everything changed. His appearance changed on that mountain. So my dear brother and sister, when we have the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit is to bring us into the fullness of Christ, to bring us into the image of Christ, to bring us into the place where we will be completely in His presence, completely experiencing Him. There are still more, many other things there in the presence of God. Holy Spirit, we could see in Acts of Apostles chapter 1 and verse 8, where He says, Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. Holy Spirit is a spiritual dynamo. It's a spiritual dynamo. He that does not have this dynamo in their lives, their car will be just in the... It will be stopping. You know, we all know that cars cannot run without a dynamo. So our lives will be like the cars, like the vehicles that cannot run with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is a spiritual dynamo, my friend. Hallelujah. When Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. He shall be the exhibitor of Jesus. You will receive power. Holy Spirit will witness the sonship. He will witness to the sonship. He will help us to pray. He will be our supplicator. He will stand in the courts of heaven on behalf of us. He will be our supplicator. He will witness sonship to us. Glory to God. What a great privilege. So the office of the Holy Spirit is, Holy Spirit is an abiding guest. He's a teacher and he brings all things remembrance to us. Number three, he's a testifier. Number four, he's a reprover. Number five, he's a guide, the voice of God and the prophet. He's a number five. Number six is a glorifier of Jesus. Number seven, he's the exhibitor of Jesus, which is a spiritual dynamo, the witness to the sonship, the one that helps us to pray and stands as a supplicator. So my dear brothers and sisters, waters play a major role in our lives. If you haven't experienced this tonight, if you haven't come into a place where the Holy Spirit has office is completely not fulfilled in your life, ask Him. I want to see you as a spiritual dynamo. I want completely experiencing you tonight. I want that experience, Lord. Fill me with that experience, Lord. The same waters that were torn apart in the wilderness of Beersheba. The same waters for the children of Israel in Marah. The same waters when they crossed Red Sea when the rock was struck. The same waters when Samson had in a place called Lehi. The same waters that turned water into wine. The same waters through which I can give a cup of water to my brother. A water that issues from God's house, from good fellowship. A water that's not affected by time and season. A living water where Christ is the only source. A living water that satisfies my deepest needs. A living water in which my hand goes into the hand of Jesus and He leads me. A living water in which my life becomes fruitful and I bear 12 months fruits. A living waters in which I have a universal call. I don't have any difference. Hallelujah. When I come to that state, I realize His office, that He's an abiding guest. He's a teacher and the one that remembers all things. He's a testifier. He's a reprover. He's a guide in the voice of God and the prophet. He's a glorifier of Jesus. He's an exhibitor of Christ, the spiritual dynamo in our lives that seeks the glory and anointing. May the Lord fulfill your hearts, my brothers and sisters. May the Lord lead you each day very deep with Him. May you experience the full office work of the Holy Ghost. May you experience the full office of the Holy Ghost, where you will come into a point when you go back, stand near the judgment seat, the Holy Ghost will be a supplicator. Come to the point where you will be having others consider you. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before your throne of grace. Lord, bringing my brothers and sisters tonight. Lord, you know every brother and every sister. You know every need. You know every heart. Every brother and every sister that is in spiritual thirst tonight, Father, that has been in this room, Father, that is with a great desire tonight, Lord. Lord, my prayer is that you're going to fill my brothers and sisters with your mighty anointing, Father. They that have experienced, oh Lord, the Holy Ghost experience, the living water experience, let them experience it deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the fullness of yourself, oh Lord. Let everyone experience it, Lord Jesus, in such a way that all the office work of the Holy Spirit is done in their life. They will be a spiritual dynamo, a dynamic force, oh Father. Where we stand, the walls will be broken. Where we stand, the pillars are going to fall down. Where we stand, the prison gates are going to be open. Where we stand, the bondages are going to be broken, Lord. Because we are a spiritual dynamo, Lord. Because we are having the Holy Ghost. Because we are having the mighty anointing. Well, we are having the spiritual anointing of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for every brother. Thank you, Lord, for every sister tonight that has listened to your word, Father. Lord, you began to work, Lord. You began to take them deep, Father. You began in such a way that everybody bears a fruit, Lord Jesus. Everybody experiences that, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for every brother. Thank you, Lord, for every sister. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your wonderful presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful presence. Thank you for everything, Lord. In Jesus' almighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you once again, dear saints, for being patient in the presence of God, to listen to His word, your eagerness in the presence of God. You're going to bear much fruit in the presence of God. God's going to bless you, saints. May you have the deeper response again. Thank you, Sister Daphne, for that wonderful work, and your services are always...